Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 19th of January 2009. This episode of Azo Nano News is brought to you by Malvern Instruments, a world leader in innovative solutions for material characterization challenges. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear about nanomachines so small they can be used inside the bloodstream of a human being, about smart dust that's being developed for diagnostic purposes, and how scientists are turning the ultra-cold into the super-solid. In this week's Azo Nano interview, Cameron Chai speaks with Kevin Jola, Vice President of Product Development at Anisys Instruments, about their award-winning Vesta Nanothermal Analysis Instrument. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. A range of complex surgical operations necessary to treat stroke victims, confront hardened arteries, or address blockages in the bloodstream are about to be made safer as researchers from the Micro Nanophysics Research Laboratory at Australia's Monash University put the final touches to the design of micro motors small enough to be injected into the human bloodstream. Researchers are harnessing piezoelectricity, the energy force most commonly used to trigger start a gas stove, to produce microbot motors, just 250 micrometres or a quarter of a millimetre wide. Remote-controlled miniature robots small enough to swim up arteries could save lives by reaching parts of the body, like a stroke-damaged cranial artery, that catheters have previously been unable to reach. With the right sensor equipment attached to the microbot motor, the surgeon's view of, for example, a patient's troubled artery can be enhanced, and the ability to work remotely also increases the surgeon's dexterity. The team began their research over 2 years ago in the belief that piezoelectricity was the most suitable energy force for micromotors because the engines can be scaled down while remaining forceful enough, even at the sizes necessary to enter the bloodstream, for motors to swim against the blood's current and reach spots difficult to operate upon. The team has produced prototypes of the motors and is now working on ways to improve the assembly method and the mechanical device which moves and controls the micromotors. The creation of a reproducible crystallization process is a fundamental challenge to drug manufacturers, but a technique which provides real-time, detailed analyses of chemical processes could provide an answer. Developed by engineers at the University of Leeds, the technique uses infrared spectroscopy to monitor supersaturation, the levels of chemical saturation in a liquid required for crystallization to begin. Most drug compounds are crystalline, manufactured in batch process systems. Small changes in crystallization process conditions, such as the temperature and cooling rates, can significantly affect the structure of the resulting crystals, something which affects both their physical properties and their performance. The new technique uses a probe attached to an infrared spectrometer to measure the concentration of a specific chemical in solution. In laboratory experiments, this technique was used on the batch cooling crystallization of chemical L-glutamic acid, or LGA. The information gained from the infrared spectrometer is coupled with detailed statistical or chemometric data to provide a more detailed analysis of the crystallization process than has been possible with other infrared spectrometry techniques. Algae is a livid green giveaway of nutrient pollution in a lake. Scientists would love to reproduce that action in tiny particles that would turn different colours if exposed to biological weapons, food spoilage, or signs of poor health in the blood. Now, University of Florida engineering researchers have tapped the working parts of cells to clear a major hurdle to creating such smart dust. Instead of just changing one part of an existing system, researchers have developed a new and different way of doing things using building blocks from bio-nanotechnology. Scientists have suggested that ever-shrinking lab chips could be reduced to the size of tiny particles of smart dust. But although today's versions may be small, they require equipment that is handheld at its smallest and often large enough to require a lab bench. Extra equipment is also needed because the assay, which uses pairs of antibodies to latch onto target contaminants and the markers that give away their presence, requires repeated flushing with water. That requires pumps, which need power. To miniaturise the system, it's necessary to build miniature pumps and batteries, but that's a challenge, especially for miniaturisation to the level required for individual pieces of smart dust. The new research strips out all peripheral equipment by using an altogether unique and different approach, biologically powered molecular forklifts. The forklifts are assembled from natural motor proteins that are active in cell division. The team's main innovation is manipulating these tiny proteins to perform heavy lifting and transport tasks, tasks that lead to a successful assay. The ability to stream videos online with the quality of high-end home theatre systems and to run computer programs 1,000 times faster are some of the future advances being made possible by a Penn State research team. The Biofunctionalized Nano-Electromechanical Systems, or BioNEMS group, has developed a working plasmonic switch, the first step in building optical computers with frequencies hundreds of thousands times greater than the ones of current microprocessors. Computer chips have circuits, and today's electronic circuits are good and small, but they're slow and have low capacity, relatively speaking. To make the big jump, researchers need to develop photonic circuits, which use light to carry information. However, the problem with photonic circuits is that they're currently too big. The answer is to create something that combines the speed and capacity of photonic circuits with the small size of electronic circuits, a plasmonic circuit. Plasmonic circuits are a hybrid of electronics and photonics, and they can transmit electrons and light at the same time. The BioNEMS group has been focusing on the first step towards a plasmonic circuit puzzle, the plasmonic switch. The plasmonic switches designed so far haven't been very effective because they've used chemical or electricity to do the switching. Using chemicals is very slow and would produce waste products because you have two chemicals that have to react, and that's just not practical. Physicists at the Joint Quantum Institute of the National Institute of Standards and Technology and the University of Maryland have proposed a recipe for turning ultra-cold boson atoms, the ingredients of Bose-Einstein condensates, into a super-solid, an exotic state of matter that behaves simultaneously as a solid and a friction-free superfluid. First theorized in 1970, a supersolid displays the essential characteristics of a solid with atoms arranged in regularly repeating patterns like that of a crystal lattice, and of a superfluid with the particles flowing frictionlessly and without losing any energy. Able to exist only at low temperatures, a supersolid behaves very differently from objects in the everyday world. Researchers have recently identified a technique for making a simpler-to-understand supersolid using two species of ultra-cold atoms confined in an optical lattice, a web of light that traps atoms in regular positions. The team has identified conditions under which a cloud of ultra-cold atoms of two species can spontaneously condense into a state in which there is a crystalline structure in the relative position of atoms. The underlying technologies of optical lattices and Bose-Einstein condensation were pioneered at NIST and have sparked a renaissance in atomic physics with applications to NIST's fundamental measurement missions, such as time and frequency standards and improved sensors of magnetic and gravitational forces. One of the grand goals in nanotechnology is to develop a single microfluidic device that integrates all of the components needed to perform polymerase chain reaction-based nucleide acid analyses. Experts predict that such a device would enable researchers to develop rapid assays for cancer and other life-threatening diseases while a patient is in the doctor's office. A team of investigators at the University of California, Berkeley, has not only built such a device, but has also used it to measure changes in gene expression in individual cells following treatment with an agent designed to silence gene expression. The device features four distinct regions that capture single cells, breaks them apart, amplifies the messenger RNA from the cells, and then analyzes and quantifies the amplified nucleic acids. Four complete devices reside on a glass wafer that is a mere 100 millimetres in diameter. A complete analysis, from cell capture to data output, takes less than 75 minutes. A fully integrated capillary electrophoresis system is incorporated in each device and yields data in a format readily interpretable by anyone with PCR experience. The researchers note that the device should be capable of measuring the expression of 5 to 10 different genes simultaneously. Angiogenesis, the growth of new blood vessels, plays a critical role in several chronic human diseases, including metastatic cancer. In fact, several new anti-cancer therapies are designed to starve tumours by shutting down angiogenesis. But the lack of a good assay for quantifying angiogenesis in the body has hampered the development of effective anti-angiogenesis therapies. In 2008, researchers at the Siteman Center of Cancer Nanotechnology Excellence described a novel nanoparticle capable of imaging angiogenesis using magnetic resonance imaging. Now researchers have developed a second type of nanoparticle that can image angiogenesis using positron emission tomography, or PET. The investigators used a nanoparticle known as a dendrimer, a spherical polymer with multiple chemical functionality built into its structure. This chemical functionality enabled the investigators to incorporate radioactive bromine-76 into the core of the dendrimer and add a targeting agent to the outside of the dendrimer. The dendrimer itself was designed to degrade in the body once imaging is complete. This episode of Azo Nano News is brought to you by Malvern Instruments, a world leader in innovative solutions for material characterization challenges. In the last 1.5 months, Malvern has introduced three exciting new products for characterizing nanomaterials. The Malvern Kinexus rheometer is taking the rheology field by storm by offering more rheology, less effort. The Zetasizer UV offers industry-leading sensitivity for measuring biomolecule size even when the smallest of sample volumes are available. The Zetasizer APS is an automated DLS system for measuring 96 or 384 protein samples automatically from industry-standard well plates. In this week's Azo Nano interview, Cameron Chai speaks with Kevin Jola, Vice President of Product Development at Anisys Instruments, about their award-winning Vesta Nanothermal Analysis Instrument. Kevin explains what nanothermal or localized thermal analysis is, how it works, and what it's used for.
This is Cameron Chai from azonano.com, and I'm speaking to Kevin Kohler, who's the Vice President of Product Development from Anisys Instruments. How are you today, Kevin?
Good. How are you, Cameron?
Very well, thank you. So Anisys Instruments have recently introduced the Vesta system to their product range, and it's a localized thermal analysis instrument. Tell us, what actually is localized thermal analysis?
Well, localized thermal analysis is the concept of, instead of bulk determining the transition temperature of material, trying to localize that interaction, you know, ideally on the micro or even nano scale to determine the transition temperature of some small amount of material. And this may be used to locally identify that material or just check to see whether the transition temperature or thermal properties are different from the surrounding material.
So the Vesta is a fairly new product, and it came from one of your existing products effectively?
Yes, we have a product called the Nano TA2, and it is a product in which we take an AFM probe. It's a modified AFM probe that can be heated, locally heated, and we replace the standard AFM probe with that and scan the surface of the sample, generate an image much like an AFM does, either in the contact or the intermittent contact mode, and then once you identify some location on the surface of the sample, you can stop the probe above that location, heat the probe, and determine the transition temperature of the material by monitoring the mechanical properties of the surface of the sample. So we had that product, and there is a lot of interest within the AFM community in adding that accessory to an AFM, but we also had customers who were interested in using the system in a more automated way, more kind of an industrial application. And so kind of answering that customer demand, we came up with a Vesta system. The Vesta system is basically taking the bits of an AFM that are required to do nanothermal analysis or localized thermal analysis and putting them into a single platform, which is very automated and easy to use.
The technology of localized thermal analysis, where did that come from?
The technology originated with a professor, Mike Redding, at a university in the UK, came up with the concept of localized thermal analysis. And initially, the probes used for localized thermal analysis were larger scale, so they were kind of micron scale probes. And then more recently, with advances in microfabrication, the probes have been reduced in size so that their end radius is down, sub 30 nanometers in terms of the end radius of the probe. And they have very similar, as mentioned, geometry and mechanical properties to a standard AFM probe.
And the features that you can analyze, what sort of resolution do you have? I mean, what's the smallest area that you can actually thermally analyze?
Well, it's limited in part by the contact area between the tip and the sample. You know, unfortunately, heat spreads, and so when you bring the tip down to the surface of the sample and heat it up, you are heating, you know, the area which is just underneath the tip predominantly, but that heat does spread out. And so we can make measurements that are typically on the order of 100 nanometers, sometimes less. Sometimes if you're looking at a sample in which you have a lot of heat diffusion, then that area may be larger.
So, Kevin, the Vestas system incorporates a new analytical technique. Could you tell us about that?
Sure, Cameron. We do something on the Vesta we call transition temperature microscopy. And essentially what this technique is, we set up the Vesta using the optical microscope. We select an area on the surface of the sample to do an array of nano TA measurements. And the concept is that at each point within this array, we do the nano TA measurement and then determine the transition temperature of that local point and then use that to color code an image in which the color scale in the image is not the topography, but it's the transition temperature of that local point on the surface of the sample. And so by doing that, you can take in a sample and you can map out variations in transition temperature to see the heterogeneity or see differences in composition across the surface of the sample.
And the Vesta, like your other instrument, the Nano TA2, won an award recently. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. It's the R&D 100 Award. And so these awards are given out by R&D Magazine, and they focus on the 100 products or technologies that have been developed during that year in which they, I think, show a lot of innovation. And so we had won an R&D 100 Award for the Nano TA2 product in 2007, and then we just won a R&D 100 Award for the Vesta product in 2008 for creating a product which gives this ease of use and rapid measurement of the transition temperature on the surface of the sample.
Congratulations on that wonderful award.
Thank you.
So the Vesta, what sort of application does that have, and who's been using it to date?
The nanothermal analysis has some limitations. Predominantly, the limitations are in terms of how hot can this local probe go, and it's limited in its temperature to around 400 degrees C. And then another limitation on the applications is that if the sample is material which has a high thermal conductivity, then trying to locally heat becomes very difficult because you inject the heat at some local point on the surface and the heat spreads out very rapidly, and so the material doesn't increase in temperature much. So those two limitations really direct us into applications with organic materials such as polymer samples or pharmaceutical samples. So those are really the two predominant areas that we focus on right now, is academic and industrial users in polymers and also in pharmaceutical materials. And we make measurements on a range of different applications, from things where we would try and locally identify materials by determining the transition temperature, to looking at homogeneous materials and mapping out the variation in transition temperature across these supposedly homogeneous materials, to looking at, multi-layer films or nanocomposites and trying to map out the variation in transition temperature across the surface of the sample. So it is a surface technique, and that's also a benefit in the sense that when you're interested in looking at surface properties such as weathering or wear on the surface, adhesion variations, things like that, those are all surface properties, and so you want to determine transition temperature of the material at the surface. And so localized thermal analysis being a surface technique allows you to do that much more sensitively than a bulk thermal analysis technique.
That sounds like a technique that will be of use to many people. Now, you were also telling me that for people that might not be convinced that this is a technique that might be of use to them, you're more than happy to run trial samples for them?
Yes, yeah. We're always interested in demonstrating, you know, the utility of the technique and also finding new applications of the technique. And so if people are interested in trying localized thermal analysis, we're happy to run a sample or two for them. And they can find our contact information at our website.
And what is your web address?
Our website address is www.anisysinstruments.com, one big word, and there's information to get in contact with us, as well as a number of different application notes and data sheets on the product that we offer.
All right then, Kevin. Thanks very much for telling us about the Vesta and localized thermal analysis. It sounds like there could be a considerable market out there for the Vesta, as well as a lot of potential applications out there for it.
Opportunity to get the information out to people.
Azo Nano Business News. 3M and EV Group have agreed to settle the patent infringement litigation brought by EVG against 3M in the US District Court relating to systems for temporary wafer bonding. Under the terms of the settlement, the details of which are confidential, 3M, its customers, and 3M's licensed suppliers of 3M's wafer support system will continue to make, sell, and use the wafer support system in global semiconductor and packaging markets. EVG will continue to defend its patent portfolio and protect its intellectual property. FEI's new Magellan Extreme high-resolution scanning electron microscope allows scientists and engineers to quickly see 3D surface images at many different angles and at resolutions below 1 nanometer. More importantly, the Magellan XHR SEM images samples at very low beam energies, avoiding distortions otherwise caused by the beam penetrating into the material below. Following its debut at the 2008 MRS Fall Meeting in Boston and its second exposure to the public during the 2008 ASCB Annual Meeting in San Francisco, NanoSurf officially announces the release of its latest atomic force microscope, the EasyScan 2 Flex AFM. With its magnetically actuated, flexure-based XY scanner technology, combined with a piezo-based Z scanner, the Flex AFM offers high linear, ultra-flat, and fast scanning performance, while at the same time providing lateral force and liquid measuring capabilities to its users. The unique technologies incorporated into the Flex AFM will form the basis of other AFM scan heads to emerge in the future and will allow NanoSurf to greatly extend the range and capabilities of their AFM scanners. Enlight Corporation announced today the availability of very large mode area, low numerical aperture, and all erbium fibers manufactured using its proprietary direct nanoparticle deposition active fiber production technology. Highly doped LMA erbium fibers are ideal for high-power, eye-safe applications at 1.5 plus micrometers, such as LiDAR, range-finding, sensing, medical, and even directed energy applications. Biomaterial Science has received regulatory approval from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for Bitubes R, its multi-wall carbon nanotubes. This enables the company to sell Bitubes R on the American market and reinforces Bayer's material science's role as one of the world's leading manufacturers of carbon nanotubes. The approval covers Bitubes R, C150P and HP grades that are produced in a plant in Laufenburg, Germany, with an annual capacity of 60 metric tons. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 19th of January 2009. This episode of Azo Nano News is brought to you by Malvern Instruments, the leading supplier of particle size analyzers in the world. For an online catalogue and this month's focused product, go to malvern.com. Malvern Instruments is a world leader in providing innovative solutions for material characterization challenges, specifically for particle characterization, rheology, and analytical imaging. Take advantage of the information-rich website and access to the many technical papers, webinars, and on-demand presentations at www.malvern.com. If you have any nano courses, events, or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To read expanded versions of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.